Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the FXR Racing Race Tech Suspension Privateer Island Pod number 230. Mitchell Harrison, thank you for listening. Appreciate it, man. Mitchell's had a really interesting career, a couple different countries, different teams, different size bikes. So looking forward to talking to him about his 2024 and more here on the Privateer Podcast. Thanks to the folks at Alpine Stars, Roost, Maxxis, Firepower, all on board with us. Thank you, FXR Racing. When it comes to FXR Racing, you've seen the people wearing it, Phil Nicoletti and Marchbanks and, you know, the whole FXR club guys, lots of privateers, Mike Brown, Kiefer, and more. FXR Racing, they've made such big strides the last few years. The stuff's really good, fits really nice, and please check out FXRRacing.com. Pulp30 is the code to save with FXRRacing.com. So Pulp30 is the code to save on anything at FXR Racing. Thank you to those guys for coming on board. Race Tech as well. Show your bike some love. It'll show it back to you. Race Tech has been a long supporter of privateers, going back to Doug Dubach in like 83 and continuing on, man. Race Tech's done a lot of great things. They've won races. They put privateers on the box, and they do motor work. They do suspension work. They have a lot of suspension parts as well. They've got service centers all across America. Racetech.com, the gold valve is a revalve in a box, and certainly put their name on the map when it comes to suspension mods. Back in like the mid-80s, late-80s, racetech.com, PulpMX24, tell them you listen to Pulp. Get your suspension serviced, oil changed, seals, bushings, all that stuff. They can do it, racetech.com. And we'll tell you more about Maxxis, Roost, Alpine Stars, and Firepower as we go on in the show. But let's call it Mitchell Harrison and see what's up. PRMX's own. All right, now, as promised here on the FXR Racing Race Tech Suspension Privateer Island Life Podcast, a gentleman who's had a really interesting career, and I do want to talk to him about different stops along the way. For now, he's on PRMX, riding the 450 class. Mitchell Harrison, what's up, man? How are you?
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it. You're up in Utah right now, enjoying the off weekend, I guess?
Yep. Yeah, up here, you know, I thought I'd get some mountain fresh air and, you know, enjoy a little time with my wife as much as I can. So, Yeah, I love it here.
Yeah, it's nice. Nice country up there. Hey, this is your first year at full-time 450 Supercross. You've made four or five mains. I feel like you're riding better to start. Let's start with this, though. You've got a ton of top 10s and top 5s and 250 Supercross. What's been the difference in the 450 class for you? Like, what came out in your mind as like, oh, this is different?
That top 30 are really fast.
And yeah.
Like in the 250 class in the LCQ, I would be like, oh, I mean, this sucks. Just like stay out of the mayhem and like you'll be fine. Make it. But, the 450 LCQ, I have to ride like my absolute best to win it or get in, and it's hard. And then you get into the main and they're all like, they've all won a title or at least like they're all amazing riders. So it's so much faster and you just have to be on your game all the time, which I love. Like, I just think like I always have to ride my best. And I feel like sometimes in the 250s, I didn't have to ride my best to get a good position or make it in. So I feel like that's just the difference.
And I guess on a 452, like I feel like in 250 class, like there's certain lines on the racetrack you have to take to clear certain jumps because of the size of the motor. Are you finding in 450s you're like, I can roll this, I can pull out of this turn early and still make a three in or whatever? Like, is that the racing strategy changed for you on a 450?
Oh, 100%, yeah. It's way easier to do these three ins on a 450. You can really point shoot. I need to try to carry my momentum a little bit more on it. I think like it's so easy that like you get like away from that roll speed a bit. But it just makes Supercross in general a lot like safer, I think, and way more fun to ride. Like 250, you have to be wide open and giving it your all to clear these obstacles sometimes. And 450 is just overall, it's just easier. It's way more fun. It's and yeah, just all the obstacles are a lot easier. But we do bigger obstacles sometimes, so I guess it's a give and take.
Yeah, you're right, like what you said too. Also in the 250 class, Mitchell, you've ridden factory equipment. Right. And then you rode for AJE last year. Was that AJE last year?
Yes. Yeah. The last 2 years.
Yeah. Last 2 years you rode AJE. How much of a difference does that make for factory equipment on 250 class versus, you know, and look, AJE does a good job, but they're not factory. So what's it like?
I think it's mainly the testing.
Okay.
And then the obviously the type of equipment that, you know, the factory teams get are insane. Like sometimes it'd be like, oh, we have this, this 20 grand part we'd like you to try. And I'd be like, okay. And then, and you just don't get that like on AJE or some of these lower class teams. I mean, they try their mm-hmm. best that they're capable of doing, but it's hard, especially in the 250 class. Like they, motor's a big deal. Mm-hmm. But I really think the chassis overall, what you need to get dialed, and you know, the factory teams just have all these parts they can just go through, see what you're most comfortable with.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you want a longer shifter, you want foot pegs moved back, all that stuff, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. If you different internals, like mm-hmm. if you want to do something, you want to put more weight on the front, more weight on the rear. Mm-hmm. Here's these bolts we could try. Just so much stuff. You can go down a rabbit hole.
So this year, I think I got this right. Maybe I got it backwards. Julian, the owner of PRMX, wanted you to ride 250s. You wanted to ride 450s. And looks like you won the battle. Did I have that? Do I have that right?
No, actually.
Or did you want to ride 250s?
The original plan was 250s.
Okay.
And then Aaron Tonti got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like three, maybe the Tuesday before A1.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron hurt his shoulder a while ago, like maybe 2-3 weeks before A1. So it was the Tuesday before A1, and he couldn't really ride the bike. We were only in Hunter's backyard, 100 yards backyard track.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I want to ride the 450 just to ride it because I love 450s. So I hopped on it, and I guess Craig and Julian kind of liked what they saw.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, do you want to ride it? I'm like kind of hesitant, honestly, because like I know what this class is like. I haven't ridden a 450 on a supercross.
Yeah.
So we went to Elsinore that following Thursday or maybe Wednesday, and I rode it pretty well there. And they're like, okay, let's do three rounds maybe.
Okay.
Until Aaron gets back. And then we were heading into Detroit, and they were like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, I don't know. Actually, they asked me after San Diego, and that was like when I busted my chin and I was kind of not feeling great anyways. And I was kind of like, I don't know. Can you give me like a few days to like kind of think about it? And like a couple days later, I was like, you know what? I kind of want to ride the 450 the rest of the season. And they're like, yeah, we kind of made that choice already for you.
Oh, really? Like, okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like anybody was expecting me to ride a 450. They were just like, we think you really ride it well, and let's give it a shot.
Okay. So, yeah. And I mean, years ago, I would say to guys on the phone like you, I'd be like, look, man, 450 makes so much more money. It makes so much more sense. But the money's close now, you know, either way.
Yes.
So, yeah, you know, that way it kind of makes – it doesn't make as much difference now, the money-wise. So, so are you now a 450 guy, Mitchell? Is this it? We're now calling you a 450 guy for the rest of your career, or what do you think?
Let's just keep saying that I'm a 450 guy. Maybe like it'll just stay there.
Okay.
So just say I'm a 450 guy, and then as soon as people think you are, then you're like more. It's just more opportunities on the 450.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would love to stay on 450. I've always thought it suited me better,
mm-hmm.
and it's such a fun bike to ride. So I'd like to stay here.
Did the PRMX ride come about because we've seen you in Canada the last couple of years with the Gas team up there? And before they folded, and you did the AJE thing in Supercross. Did the PRMX thing come together because of like a Canadian relationship, or how did that work with Julian and him signing you and all of that?
Well, I knew Julian from Canada, and we would talk kind of, but not. We would never be serious about like working together.
Okay,
like, we'd be like, oh, we'll see you. I mean, and I never really thought about. Like working with them, I always was like AJE mm-hmm. or he was more like you can ride Supercross if you do Canada with us, and I was like, well, I kind of have a contract so I can't, so he put it on the back burner. And then one day I was going through all my options and he called me and he's like, do you want to ride for us? And he gave, and like what he offered was awesome. Mm-hmm. So, and I was back at South of the Border, which I like South of the Border. Like I rode there at 16 with Star. Okay. I just like the simplicity of it and just being in the middle of nowhere and riding your dirt bike. So I thought it was a great fit. So that was really how it went about. He just called me up one day and we agreed.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Did you like your time at AJE? Did it work out all right?
I did. Yeah. They're such a fun group, and I made so many friends over there. Mm-hmm. I just felt like I just needed a little bit more testing and just a little more. They were overall really good, and mm-hmm. If I wanted to try stuff, they would allow me to, but I'm only one person. I just didn't really know how to test on my own. Mm-hmm. So, where PRMX really every day, in preseason, it felt like we were testing something new, and I just really like that.
Nice. Yeah, you know what? Cade's in main events. You're in main events. Tanti came up and made some mains before he got hurt again. Yoder's been having a good season. It's quietly a pretty strong privateer team. You know, Julian's got a good thing going over there.
Oh, it's an amazing privateer team. I mean, with our small budget and mm-hmm. And what they're doing is awesome. They try their very best to make us comfortable. Especially Craig and Julian, they really go above and beyond for us. And the man hours that they do mm-hmm. is insane. So, we're just out there riding our dirt bikes and having fun.
How do you like the Cowie? Obviously last time you were on there, I think you were riding for Mitch, and it was a 250, but how do you like the Cowie?
I love the Cowie.
Yeah.
Right away, I thought it was, at least on Supercross, more consistent than the Gas-Gas. Mm-hmm. I think with that flex frame, I've always liked stiffer bikes, and I like my Cowie and amateurs, my Cowie and on Mitch's team. Mm-hmm. I think I just like Cowies overall.
Yeah, okay. Mitchell Harrison here on the FXR Racing Race Tech Suspension Privateer Island Life. Thanks to the folks at FXR and Race Tech, of course. Maxxis tires as well. How do you like the Maxxis, Mitchell? Something new for you?
Yeah, surprise. I mean, when you hear Maxxis, you're like, okay.
Right.
And they're really good. We obviously tested a bunch with them mm-hmm. and I found a pressure and a few pressures and the tires. I think it's a intermediate soft
yep.
Front and rear, and they're great. They hook up really well. And they're not over tacky. It's a really good tire. And
yeah.
You think of Maxxis and you're like,
yeah.
No, but it's a great tire.
No, I'm with you. They've put a lot of R&D into the new stuff. McGrath's a big part of it, right? And they got some new tires coming out, and they do a good job. Maxxis tires, mountain bike tires, light truck tires, trailer tires, all of that. And they do respond to a little more pressure than say a Dunlop. Do you find that, Mitchell?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
The Dunlops always ran a little bit low. Pirellis too. They go mm-hmm. with a high pressure, but I run 12.5 in the front and in the rear,
yep.
and I find that to be perfect really everywhere.
Right.
If it's a little bit harder packed, which we don't get at the races anymore,
mm-hmm. true.
I'll go lower, but 12.5 seems pretty dialed.
Awesome. Thanks to the guys at Maxxis. How have you been enjoying your season? I'm sure you would like to have been a few more main events. You've been right there a lot. You're up there in the LCQ points for the Yamaha race, which means you've been close to making a lot of mains. I feel like from a Pulp Fantasy point, I've watched you a lot, and you had a rough start and got better last month and a half, I feel.
Yeah. I mean, the start was basically just figuring out the 450.
Okay.
And testing with it, and it's fast, the thing could do anything, and mm-hmm. I would get way behind on the bike, so it would kind of just shoot out of my hands. Then I crashed in San Diego, which set me back. And then I just was watching a bunch, and I started writing down all my settings and really mm-hmm. Putting a lot of effort, more than I think I typically do. To figure out the spike and being a main event guy every time. Cause I I want to be that 11th through 13th spot. I feel like I can be there. Mm-hmm. So that's where I want to be. I think that's very ambitious for my first season. because those are great guys. Like, it's like Shane McElrath in that area, Cole, maybe Malcolm Stewart, or just there's a lot of good guys. But that's where I want to be. And it's like when I get like these 18ths and stuff, it's like, dang, like, like I that's good, but I really want to be up there. And then when you don't make a main, it's really frustrating, because like especially this past weekend, I was riding really well. I was in B practice, unfortunately, mm-hmm. so that's tough for times. And I got a really bad start in the LCQ, but I was riding so great all day. So it was so – I just wanted to race and get better and figure out what to do.
Right.
And so I would say it's up and down right now. Like, if I can start being top 15 every time, I would say that's a great, great season.
I'm not saying this like as an excuse or a reason for you or whatever, but I was talking to AP. I feel for you guys, like – Weege and I kind of debate this a little bit on the race review pods. Like, the weather we've had, the dirt consistency, like we don't use the lime anymore, and the track. I talk to guys like you. I mean, look, Jet Lawrence and Jay Sexton, they're like, whatever. They're having a great time. But when I talk to guys on the next down level, you know, the McElraths and even AP and these other guys, they just tell me how much of a survival every track has been almost. Not this weekend in St. Louis, and not Glendale, and maybe not A2, but like, man, it has been a tough slog for racers, because you're out there and you're just like Phil says, you're trying to not die, you know?
Yeah.
It's been tough. It hasn't been much fun, I guess, Mitchell.
It's been insane. Like, since Daytona,
right?
The tracks, like Birmingham, for instance, I would pick a line and just guess, and hopefully I didn't go over the bars.
Yeah.
And in Seattle, it was the same way, and I picked the wrong line, and I went over the bars.
Yeah, I had you in fantasy, by the way. I wasn't happy, but I'm glad you're okay. I'm glad you're okay.
Thank you. That should have been a good night, too. I think I was in 18th at the time, and I was slowly like getting my laps in.
Yeah.
But
I just think if he was a Michigan guy, and I'm like, I think he's good in ruts. You know, Michigan guy. I don't know.
Yeah. I loved it. I was having a blast on that track too. Like literally it was a new line and it just gave out and it just pitched me over.
Yeah. Because when I talk to you guys after races, you're like, dude, I wasn't trying to three. I'm just trying to do the doubles, you know? And, you're like, and that's true. And I'm just like, that's must suck for you guys. So.
Yeah. I think with that crash, I was overdoing it. Mm-hmm. Like, I could have just taken like a double line and maybe survived, but I wanted the Benny was in front of me, and I really wanted to get close to Benny, but he was riding good that night.
Mm-hmm.
So I think sometimes you just gotta like calm down to go faster in those conditions.
Yeah maybe, right? So yeah, I feel like you've been riding better. Like you said, San Diego crash put you down a little bit, but I feel like it's been better for you lately. What is the plan for outdoors? Because when I talk to Julian, it seems like it changes all the time. What's the plan?
That's the same thing with me.
Okay. So do you want to do Canadian stuff, American stuff? Would you do I imagine you want to do SMX, so you want to get into that. What would be your choice?
And you know, I love Canada, but I really miss AMA.
Mm-hmm.
I miss the crowds. When I went to Redbud, I was just like, I loved it. Canada will always have like a huge place in my heart. And if I go there, I would love to go back if that's the plan. But I think I would rather do AMA, especially because of the SMX points. I think I'm a better motocross rider, so I think I could get a ton of points there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and make some more money, right?
Yeah, make some more money. I mean, that's the ultimate goal, right? Like, if we can make a few more grand, maybe get in the top 10 and make 100 grand, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
You play more golf.
Yeah, there you go, right? Awesome. it'll be interesting to see what you guys do. I know, like, Julian told me at one point, hey, we're going to do 3 or 4 AMA Nationals to get my guys into the SMX thing. You know, I mean, they went down pretty far last year to find everybody, right? So,
yeah.
They're thinking that could happen again. Canadian stuff. You mentioned that you were up there for the Gas team. By the way, do they owe you money or were you good on that?
Okay.
All right. It didn't end well from what I understand. How did you like your time up there? You won races, came into the 1 year with a chance at a title. in the MX2? Like, how'd you find your time up there? Me being Canadian, I'm interested to hear this.
Absolutely loved it.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it revamped my career. I went from really struggling mm-hmm. to wanting to be done and just to loving riding dirt bikes and winning races. I mean, a majority of it is thanks to like Tyler and Alex
Medaglia.
And, Tyler Medaglia down in Nova Scotia. And it, like, especially the way he rides, like, it's not just moto down every day. We're like, let's go in the hard enduro and let's do these trails. And dude, Steve, have you ever ridden his trails?
No. I've seen on Instagram and stuff. Yeah,
it's the hardest thing I've ever done on a dirt bike. And I shot my mouth, like, which I always do. And he made me do it. And it was so tough. And it was like 80 degrees and just humid that day too. So mm-hmm. that was just brutal.
Yeah.
I remember sitting on a hill. And obviously Tyler was there, but we had a couple other buddies that were equally as bad as me. And I could just hear them down there and trying to get him out. I just felt like the biggest piece of crap, but I was so tired just sitting on this hill. But yeah, like, it was just so much fun. It's just so much fun in that Brookfield area.
Yeah.
And like riding with Mitch Cook and like he has the Callis Raceway. It's just so much fun. So I think it overall just revamped my career. And then winning, like, competing for titles. Like, that's what you dream of doing. I didn't get one. Not for the lack of trying, but it was a lot of fun racing with them.
I feel like, I should have done my research before this pod, but I feel like you were the fastest guy, but you had some horrible races, like DNFs or bad crash, or like, am I right? Like, yep. I feel like you had some horrible races that knocked you out of these titles, and then you would win when everything went right, you'd win or finish really well.
Yeah, the first year, I had the points lead going like three rounds ago, and I got flat tire, which Tyler kept telling me to put a moose in, and we just never did.
Okay.
And so that was partly my fault, maybe partly the team's. So I lost that by, like, I don't know, 4 points or something. Mm-hmm. Ryder won it. And then the next season, I was feeling great. Like, I was for sure thought I was going to take it. And the first round, I blew up 3 engines.
Okay.
So lost 50 points right off the bat.
Oh, that was Edmonton, then, I think. Yeah, Edmonton was a disaster, right? Yeah.
It was a disaster, yeah. And then I think I was trying too hard, and I'd get like second or something, but Ryder was winning.
Mm-hmm.
And or maybe I win a moto and I'll crash, and I was just trying too hard. And then I crashed really bad at Gopher and lost 25 more points. And then I was like, you know, I'll just calm down. And then I got like 3 wins in a row, but it was way too late. So yeah, it was just like crappy situations sometimes.
Yeah.
But I thought I could have won both. But Ryder's really good, and he beat me.
Yeah.
He beat me straight up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's neat to hear you say that it saved your career in a way, and it made you love dirt bikes and all of that. That's really cool. You know, and you're not the only guy. Like, Canary was that way, and Gerke, and a lot of Americans are like, man, this is, you know, just riding up front. There's decent crowds at these Canadian races. They're not packed, but whatever. And yeah, it kind of made you remember why you did it, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like, crowds aren't like U.S. crowds, but. No. Like, Deschambeau is awesome. Like, the Canadians, I've been told that they didn't really like Americans out there, but they were really, like, big fans mm-hmm. of me being over there. So, like, I really embraced the Canadian culture, though. Full on Canadian in Nova Scotia. So, I think that helped a lot.
So, at some point, Tyler came up to do the Pulp Show here in Vegas, and he told me he was staying with you in California. And then, obviously, yeah, you lived with him back east. How did you and T-Dags ever become friends enough to do all this? Like, that's the part where I never found that out. How did you guys meet each other and like to enjoy each other's company?
So we were both down at GPF, but...
Oh, okay.
I never hung out with Tyler at GPF. I hung out with his brother, Jeremy. And me and Jeremy were phenomenal friends. And we would hang out every day. And Tyler would be... training and then going and doing 5-hour bike rides.
Yeah,
so,
sounds about right.
So I literally like never saw him or maybe talked to him like two times. So when I went up there, Alex said he had an apartment for me, and the apartment wasn't done. So he said I was just going to stay with Tyler. And I'm like, okay, well, I kind of know Tyler. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll be fine. And yeah, so I started like living with him and his family. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, Tyler is a very easy person to get along with. And so is his wife, Heidi. And his kids are amazing. And like the whole Brookfield crew.
Yeah. It's like out of a sitcom, from what I understand, right? It's like it's every day it's something else.
For sure, you could for sure make a TV series about them, and it'd be a hit.
Yeah.
So it was just really easy to get along with everybody.
Oh, and that's awesome!
Like we have the bakery, so we just go in the bakery every morning and you know, take a croissant or something and carry on with our day.
Yeah,
but Yeah.
Tyler is MX2 again for Gopher Dunes Honda, and I know Derek Schuster, the owner. I'm in a couple group texts with him, and he's already just amazed at the fucking parts that T-Dags is going through, because he just
I was told that he's gone through less parts with this Honda.
Maybe. I think it's still more than Derek thought it would be.
Yeah, so Tyler took it to Day in the Dirt.
Yep.
And a GNCC, and I was FaceTiming with Derek and Tyler when they're at the shop, and I was like, dude, are you just going to let that, like, put that bike on fire or what? He's like, you know what? You can actually ride it still. I'm like, there's no way. Yeah. Like, the clutch has to be destroyed. But he said the bike was fine. It's so that's amazing. Extraordinary.
Yeah. At some point, Dylan broke a hub too, and then T-Dags broke something. Derek was at his wit's end. He was trying to figure it out. But no, that's cool. Hey, I've been to Moncton, the National Moncton, a couple times, I've never spent a lot of time, but it's beautiful country out there, isn't it? It's really nice.
Moncton is I don't know too much about
Nova Scotia, where you at?
Yeah.
Just all the Maritimes.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, you got beaches, these giant cliffs, just endless woods that they create, and it's insane. Like, it's a little piece of corner of the world that nobody knows about, and I hope it stays like unknown for a while.
I know. I want to take my wife out for vacation out that way. You know, like I said, it's I've heard nothing but great things about it, and you know, the videos, well, and everything. Yeah,
the city's amazing too. It's just delicious food, like amazing seafood, and just like you can get away from it in the city, or you can go out into just the middle of nowhere and let Tyler show you around.
So at some point, it sounds like if you, in a year or two or 2 years, if someone says, hey, you got an MX1 ride up in Canada, like Kevin Tyler's looking for a guy this year, and like you'd go back.
Yeah. If it were like if I didn't have something in America.
Yeah.
I would love to. I would love to go back up there anytime. But like, I'm so American, and I love U.S. stuff. So I've always just wanted to try to be the best I can. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like if Canada's calling, then I'll go back up.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's nice. I want to thank the folks at Roost MX. Pulp Nation is the code to save at Roost MX. 48-hour turnaround. Great graphics, number plates, wraps, easy ups, pitch shirts, all of that. RoostMX.net. Pulp Nation is the code to save with Roost. And again, check them out, please. Great turnaround, and they can do a lot for you in the world of graphics. Thanks to the folks at Firepower as well. Firepower parts, chains, oil, batteries, all of it privateer proven. You look at the Firepower Honda guys with Anstey and Dino using Firepower parts. Thank you to those guys. Firepowerparts.com. Check them out at your local dealer. Mitchell Harrison here, FXR Racing. Race Tech Suspension Privateer Island Life Podcast. Mitchell, you've ridden for Rockstar Husky, Pro Circuit, Star Racing. You've certainly been with, you know, some of the best dudes around. It's interesting to talk about that. Where did you, out of those teams, and you had results at all of them, top fives, top, you stood on the podium. Which team did you enjoy your time the most at?
Probably Husky.
Husky?
Sure Husky. Because, like, Scuba, it was just, like, me and Scuba still talk. We flick each other off all the time when we see each other. And Pat, my mechanic, was amazing. And then, like, we had such a great, like, the riders were awesome. I Dean was my teammate. Jason Anderson was my teammate. Mm-hmm. Zach was my teammate. And they were all great dudes that, like, they would help me out whenever I needed it. And it was a fun atmosphere to be around. And, like, Michael Mosman was on the team. And, like, we would always try to be, like, ask one of each other what we could do better. Like, what do you think? And just overall, it was so much fun to ride. And the bike was great. Unfortunately, it was only for a year. So that was disappointing. But, that was a lot of fun to be on that team.
And you and Phil made the podium in the mud at Unadilla, right?
Yeah, you know, I felt like a bit of a dick. because I was all stoked that I got a podium, and we don't really watch the 450s. I had no idea that Phil got a podium.
Mm.
So, like, I was, like, kind of, like, celebrating. I was like, yeah, Phil, like, heck yeah. And, like I had no clue that he got a podium. So, I don't know. So I think like next week I was like, I didn't know, man, like, awesome, like, that's sick.
Yeah,
so
that was a good day for you guys for sure. That was nuts. What years were you at Star?
16 17.
Which bike was the best? I mean, I guess you, like, maybe the Rockstar one because you enjoyed your time there, but like you mentioned a lot of teammates, but which bike was the best?
The Rockstar.
Yep.
I felt really good on it in outdoors, and we got it amazing. Mm-hmm. The Star bike was really fast. I don't know if I like ever gelled with the chassis.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Pro Circuit bike, we were just on it for the summer. So it was kind of like they tried, like, just, I don't think we really had enough time to make it as comfortable as I wanted to be. But I mean, I love that bike. I loved all of them, but I would say the Husky was the best.
Okay. Yeah, interesting. You did the Pro Circuit thing was a tryout, right? I was at Glen Helen that day.
Really?
Yeah, I was there. It was Enzo, you, I think two different days, I believe. One of the days. I was there one of the days you were there.
Yeah.
And it was a tryout for the spot. Mitch was there. What was that like for you? I mean, you're a veteran, like you've had great results, but now you're trying out for a Pro Circuit with Mitch Payton. Like, how did you prepare? How was that? How was the pressure of that day?
It was more intimidating, but like, I mean, it's Mitch Payton.
Yeah.
And we're great friends now, so it's a lot easier to be around him, but it's just, I just knew I had to ride as fast as I could for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And like, he just said like go warm up. And
yep.
I'm like, I don't know. I did like 3-4 laps and they're like, you want to warm up more? And I'm like, no, I feel good. He's like, okay.
Okay. All right. 30 minutes.
So I sent it for 30+2.
Yeah.
And I loved the bike. It felt so good.
Uh-huh.
And, then I'm like, okay, like, are we going to do another one? He's like, nope, you're good. And then, like, Enzo Lopes pulls up. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Yep.
Like, have a good day. and then I earned the spot.
Did they put your bars on it or anything? Like, did they ask you what you wanted or anything?
Nope. Everybody got the same bike.
Okay. All right. So it's just
I could adjust the bars.
Yeah, but.
But no.
And then, like, you're trying to send it at Glen Helen. It's a fucking public ride day. There's guys like me out there. There's 80s. Like, you're right. Like I assume they're making you guys do a 30 to check lap times to see what kind of shape you're in. But literally you could come around a corner and there could be a, you know, a dude like me, right, taking the main inside line. So that's hard.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. They're skilled enough, right? Like, they know.
Okay, yeah.
They know exactly what's going on. Like, oh, obviously somebody got in the way. Like,
yeah,
if you're 3 seconds off, that's an issue. But if you're 3 seconds off for the remainder of the moto,
that's
a big issue.
Were you in shape coming in? Had you been riding? Like, I don't remember what the circumstances were, but were you feeling good into it? Yeah.
Oh, I was feeling great going into it. I actually felt better going into it than I went into the series because I was on Bud previous and – then that series kind of got canceled. So I was fortunate that I got a tryout with Mitch. And, so I was riding up at that point. I felt great. And then like I got the ride and then like everybody went on vacation for like 2 weeks. So I didn't ride for 2 weeks.
How did he tell you who got the ride? How did he tell you that? Like after Glen Helen, how did that go down?
he called me. So okay. You're just waiting in anticipation. I've been in this situation with Mitch where you're waiting for a phone call and you just never get one. So
you're like, okay, yeah.
So when you get one, like, I was over the moon. And he's like, do you want to ride for us? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you, 100%, dude.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a really cool moment because, like, PC was an amateurs. Like, was the team for me. That's what I wanted to ride for. And that was a great time.
So sometimes these fill-in rides don't really pay that well. How was that money-wise for that? How did it pay you or how did it work? Was it okay?
Yeah, it was per diem.
Per race, yeah.
Yeah, it was good. Like, I was happy with it.
Hey, you got a fifth at Redbud. You got top tens. Like, I felt like you rode well, you know?
Yeah, I rode – Mitch was happy. He was very happy with how I did, mainly for being a fill-in rider. Mm-hmm. He didn't do anything like – you know the stories, like, he gets angry sometimes. Like some of the races that I felt like I should have been yelled at, he didn't. And I would always go to him for advice, and he would just, like, give me little things here and there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think he was happy with how I did. But obviously I didn't do well enough to earn a ride. But I did get the tryout for the Supercross ride that following year, but Shimoto got it.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. Shimoto. It's funny that two of Mitch's most successful guys, McAdoo and Shimoda, had to try out, you know?
Yep. I mean, I think it's good to try out sometimes. Like, it just shows how bad you want it.
Yeah, I guess, like, look, Enzo's a buddy of mine, and I like him, and I guess he pulled in early the moto and said, I got blisters. Like, that ain't gonna do it, Enzo. Like, that, you know, like, strike him from the list. And then who else was it? The Mumphy tryout? No. I forget who else did it. There's four of you guys, I think.
Well, Sanai got the ride too.
Oh, Sanai, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, he also got like a filler. I think there's two spots. Right. I don't know who else.
I forget too.
I forget who else.
The names on the tip of my tongue, but yeah, it was interesting to see that.
There's definitely more guys,
right? So, hold on. I don't remember Bud Racing. What were you doing for Bud Racing in that Supercross season? Then before then, what was going on?
Oh, MX2, the GPs.
Oh, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, I mean, I did fair, like, all right, like a few top tens, which is okay. Those guys are, like, over there is insane too.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the 450 class over here. It's just the depth is insane to like 25th.
So who did you ride for after Mitch on a Honda? Who was that?
Oh, that was Yarif.
It was
Muck Off at the time.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. It's interesting. Like, man, you've had such a neat career. I mean, obviously, look, you probably would have liked to have won more races and stood on a podium, but you rode for factory teams. You know, you rode an MX2, which I'm just remembering now that you said that. You did Canadian Nationals. Yeah, man, it's got to be like kind of interesting for you.
It's been a very unique career.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I've got to travel the world, riding a dirt bike, and I've done it for this long now. So, like, I'm really grateful. Like, now, mm-hmm. Maybe there in the middle, like, I was not, and it was frustrating, but yeah, like, I got podiums, and I would really have liked to win a race, but that's what I'm striving for. Like I know I'm way off right now, but I would, that's what I'm striving for, is to try to win at some point. And I mean, come on, like, it's only four, like, maybe 3 seconds or 4 seconds of jet. Yeah, that's not that big a deal.
It's not that bad. Hey, did you enjoy your time at Star, or did you feel pressure and all of that? Because I know a couple people who were around you around that time, and yeah, from what I understand, they were hard on you at times.
Yeah, I liked Star. Like, I was fortunate that, like, Alex and Jeremy were there.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, and I got along with them really well. I wasn't like the vibe that, like, Swanee and they had wasn't like my type of vibe. Yeah. So, like, I was a little bit like an outcast.
An outsider,
And then I trained with somebody different, and Dylan Turner. So then I was a really big outsider. And yeah, like, I was like there were some rough moments. Like, yeah. I would get yelled at Bobby or,
right.
or
Brad,
like,
whatever.
They would say, yep. Brad was actually really good the entire time. It was mainly like Bobby, who I still talk to him all the time. And like, I get it. Like, I need to do better. Some of the things were like, okay, like that's kind of hurtful, but whatever.
it's kind of hurtful.
there was one instance that really irritated me, but I was like a 17-year-old at the time. So it was at south of the border. Uh-huh. And my girlfriend, who's now my wife, came down, and I don't know, like, Bobby got a word of it, and he told me that she needs to go home. And I'm 17 years old, so I'm like, okay. So that one really irritates me still to this day.
Yeah,
I wish I would have, like, stuck up for myself a little bit more there. But,
yeah, but you're 17 on a team. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, on a great team that's winning championships. So I was like, okay, whatever. But, yeah, I mean, I was riding on a really good bike. Like, yeah. I liked it. I wish I could have stayed. Like, but I didn't hate my time there.
They did resign you. I remember, right? They resigned you.
Nope. I had a 2-year contract with them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Was Alan Brown the manager then? Was Alan around? Was he?
No.
Okay.
Who is the manager? Yeah,
maybe it was Brad. But
I think
yeah,
it was Brad. I think he was in dual roles at that time.
I did hear that they yelled at you a lot, or hear whatever. Whoever told me that was like, yeah, man, they really let him have it. And like, there's a way to motivate riders for sure. I'm not always sure Star is the proper way to motivate riders. But I mean, they got great results. But I think a lot of that is due to that bike. We can argue that back and forth, but that's sort of my thoughts. And then the way they treat some people, I'm just like, wow. So.
Obviously, the bike's really good.
Yeah.
I don't know how it is. I know that, like, there was other people that got way worse than I did.
Okay.
Like, I heard Kyle Peters was,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
bad. I heard the relationship with Jeremy was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really get yelled at, but, like, just sometimes the things they would say to me were, like, good, okay, I'll just go over here and just do my own thing for a bit.
Yeah. Now, listen, I heard Bobby one time when Coop was leading the points, Bobby told him, if you don't jump some jump, I'm putting your bike, I'm benching you for the night. Like, I heard that from a good source. Like, what? You know?
Yep. They told me that. I think Bobby told me that. Bobby told me that directly.
Like, you really, like, Yamaha, if you don't let the points leader race, Yamaha's going to have a word with you, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, Bobby's ruthless.
Man. Yeah.
He, like, I mean, he's fun to talk to. It's fun to, like, have a conversation with him, but like, yeah, he's got like a football mentality, and like,
yeah,
he wants you to win.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. They've done a good job of that winning over the years. So,
yeah. So, yeah, I mean, they're doing something right. Right.
Yep. Thanks to FXR and Race Tech for coming on board this podcast. FXR Pulp 30 is the code to save. Great gear company. You'll see it on many, many privateer guys out there. Race Tech Suspension as well. Racetech.com. Pulp MX24 is the code to save. I want to thank the folks at Alpine Stars. Whether it's Tech 10, whether it's Tech 7s, whether it's Protection Line, Alpine Stars protects. And you can see them out on the feet and chest protectors and everything else for many, many people. Thank you to Alpine Stars, Roost MX, Maxxis, Firepower, all on board with us with Mitchell Harrison. Hey, your dad, from what I understand, your dad's a lawyer, right?
Yes.
And he's had a lot of behind-the-scenes dealings with riders and teams over the years. From what I understand, he's done deals. He's represented riders, companies, issues. People have leaned on him for advice, things like that, from what I understand.
He's mainly just helped with riders' issues. I don't think he's ever actually helped with, like, deals.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, he can't really tell me with stuff, but I know he's helped. He's helped a lot of riders because I don't know. He sees what I have to go through, and I think he just wants the best for every rider. So
yeah,
if he just thinks it's shady or like any contract he gets, he will redline the crap out of. And it's awesome for us because we're dumb, uneducated dirt bike riders.
Yep.
So I think a lot of riders come to him just to make sure like they're not getting screwed over.
And
but
it happens a lot, man. Some of these teams are brutal, you know?
Yeah, and like he's rewritten contracts like Like, I remember, I think my SAR contract, like, he rewrote, and then they used it for, like, years. Yeah. So, like, they're just, I don't know, a lot of the contracts are just not good. They're like, or they just have these weird terms that he just hates. So, like, he just wants to make sure everything's covered.
Yeah. I was asked to sign a contract one time that said, either side can terminate this agreement at any time for any issue. And I'm like, why am I signing this?
Like, literally. See, like, there's no point then.
No. And I didn't sign it. And then we just carried on, you know, but like, and then I there's another team out there I've heard that are like, they got a rider in the room, a kid, younger kid, you know, like 17-year-old Mitchell Harrison type deal. And they said, here's your contract. If you walk out of the door, we're tearing this up without signing. Like, what?
Like, what?
Like, what? I can't have an adult look at this? Really?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, dude, it's brutal sometimes. And I'm sure you know some of these stories, you know?
Yeah. I'm very fortunate that I have my dad around. Like, it sucks that like all these kids have to like go pay for one and spend so much money when they're probably not going to do that. So they just sign whatever in front of them.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I would strongly encourage like at least to get in contact with my dad. I mean,
of course. Yeah.
So let's add that as a sponsorship for the program.
There we go.
Brian Harrison, lawyer.
Brian Harrison, lawyer. If anybody's listening to this, reach out to him and he'll probably do it for free. He'll probably look at it for free for you, riders.
Yeah, exactly. No, he just wants to help us really. Like he likes the justice of it all and, doesn't try to screw anybody over. So very fortunate that he's my dad.
You said earlier in this podcast you're a better outdoor guy than indoor guy.
I mean, my results say so.
I mean, a little bit, but I don't know. You've had some good indoor results. I don't know. I don't think of you as that, actually, to be honest. But I guess, I mean, you've had great races at Red Bud. That's your home track. That's understandable. But I don't know. I feel like you've had a lot of good races indoors, too, Mitchell.
So. I have. I've blew some opportunities to be on the podium. It just hasn't come as natural to me. I've always thought like, I love Supercross. I like riding it. Just racing it. It's like, sometimes I just don't feel like I understand the momentum part of it as I do outdoors. I try to learn as much as I can. I watch a lot of film. Whoever gives me tips, like I listen, like I try to talk to Jason or somebody about like, what do you think here? And it's just, I just, like right now I'm looking for like 2 seconds and that would put me exactly where I want to be. And that just seems so easy, but it's so hard at the same time. But like in outdoors, I just know like I could just grind for 30 minutes plus two and I'm going to be great.
Are you better on a bicycle than T-Dags?
No, not a chance.
Yeah, he's an animal, right?
Not a chance. We'll be going up trails and he'll just like, bunny hop wheelie stuff like randomly and I'm like I have no skill to do that.
I'm taking him to Fox Hill for this vet designations thing. He's gonna go with us. I said, hey, everybody needs to be in shape, and the other teammates are Noof and Galdi, and so I said, hey, everybody needs to be in shape, and then T-Dag sends a photo. I'm like, dude, he's ripped. He's just ripped. And I'm like, okay, Galdi, this is what you got to look like. Yeah.
He's lean right now. He's off the pastries a little bit. I know that.
Okay, so to wrap this thing up here on the Privateer Island podcast, we got your favorite team. It was Rockstar Husky. Your favorite bike was the Rockstar Husky. Favorite teammate?
Ooh, favorite teammate?
Yeah.
Tyler.
Okay, all right.
Tyler or Hunter, Reoter. I think those are my two favorites right now because they're just my boys.
Yeah. Dude, you've had a lot of teammates. You've had a lot of teammates. So
yeah, I think Zach is up there too.
Yep.
Like he just helped me out a lot, and right now it has to be probably Tyler.
Okay, all right. Favorite motocross track that's not Red Bud?
I like Sandalie a lot.
Oh wow, okay. I wasn't expecting you to go to Canada. Sure. Yeah,
I like Sandalie a lot. I ride that track really well. Mm-hmm. I guess in the States I'll go Millville, but I think my second. Can I do like a non like?
Yeah, it's your podcast. Like, you can do whatever you want.
Baja is my favorite.
Baja Acres. Oh shit. Okay, yeah. Dude, I landed on a kid there once, and then he wasn't supposed to be out there. I worked for Nick Lay in 02. And
oh, wow.
We were riding, and I landed on a kid, and then I'm like, he wasn't supposed to be out there. It was big bike practice. And anyways, the parents are like, hey, do you have your lawyer's name? And I'm like, what? Like, and we just left. I mean, the kid was
that's
okay.
That's probably the best.
Yeah, I needed.
Did you land on?
I needed Brian Harrison. I needed Brian Harrison there. Yeah,
you did. I don't think I was riding at that time. I think you would have been SOL on that one.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, that was my memory of Baja Acres. It was a good track, but my memory was his parents saying, "Can we get your lawyer's information?" And I'm like, "I gotta go." So
yeah, let me just get that.
Exactly right. Then I gotta go. Awesome, man. Well, hey, cool. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate it. Fun to get to talk to you a little bit. What an interesting career. Like, factory teams, 450 Supercross, Canadian Nationals, MX2. Yeah, and it's nice to hear that you've maybe rediscovered the love a little bit of racing, you know? So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we're back. We're back, and, like, I love it right now. I'm having a blast riding my dirt bike, getting better. So, yeah. Thanks, Canada.
Yeah, yeah. There we go. Oh, Canada, indeed.
Oh, Canada.
What was your favorite Canadian food? Did you experience anything up there that you liked? Did you have poutine? Did you have the Hawkins cheesies? Anything?
I didn't have. No, and the poutine throws me off. I don't really like cheese and gravy.
Oh shit! Okay,
I couldn't go for that. Okay. The bakery is amazing. Is that Canadian food? Tim Hortons. I love Tim Hortons.
Oh, you did like Tim Hortons. Okay.
All right. I love Tim Hortons. All yeah. Right. Well, that place is amazing.
Okay. Well, that's it's too hot. The coffee's too hot for me. I don't like it. But, man, thanks for the time. I appreciate it. Enjoy the time off on the weekend. I really appreciate it. And we will see you back in Boston, man. Thanks, Mitchell.
Yes, sir. Thank you.